Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea during the reign of King Herod. About that time, some wise men from eastern lands arrived in Jerusalem, asking, "Where is the newborn king of the Jews? We saw his star as it rose, and we have come to worship him." King Herod was deeply disturbed when he heard this, as was everyone in Jerusalem. He called a meeting of the leading priests and teachers of religious law and asked, "Where is the Messiah supposed to be born?" "In Bethlehem in Judea," they said, "for this is what the prophet wrote, 'And you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are not the least among ruling cities of Judah. For a ruler will come from you, who will be the shepherd for my people Israel.'" Then Herod called for a private meeting with the wise men, and he learned from them the time when the star first appeared. Then he told them, "Go to Bethlehem and search carefully for the child. And when you find him, come back and tell me so that I can go and worship him too." After this interview, the wise men went their way, and the star they had seen in the east guided them to Bethlehem. It went ahead of them and stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were filled with joy. They entered the house and saw the child with his mother, Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasure chests and gave him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. When it was time to leave, they returned to their own country by another route, for God had warned them in a dream not to return to Herod.
And if you want to check out, he was reading from Matthew 2. As Lynn comes, can I pray for you, Lynn? Holy Spirit, I pray that you will be here in this presence. I know that you're here in this presence. Wherever two or more are gathered, you are here in our midst. And so I just ask that you will give us ears to hear, give Lynn words to speak. And I pray that your Spirit will mediate between us so that there is understanding. And not just understanding, but we will grow, we will learn, and we will be closer to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
We've celebrated Christmas. Admittedly, it was last year, but it was only 12 days ago. Yesterday was the 12th day of Christmas, and our Christmas tree at home comes down today. I can see for some of you it came down earlier. We celebrated hope, peace, joy, and love through Advent and at Christmas by remembering Mary and Joseph as they responded to the angels speaking to them about the birth of Jesus. The shepherds hearing the good news from an angel, seeing their joy at the birth of a baby who changed their lives forever. The shepherds visiting and worshipping Jesus. We were inspired by Mary treasuring up all these things and pondering them in her heart. But most of these things are not in Matthew's account. The shepherds don't feature. Mary doesn't have a speaking part. In fact, she only gets a couple of mentions, really. There's no mention of a midnight visit by shepherds. The angel only speaks to Joseph. There's no mention of Nazareth, a long journey, a guest room being full, not even a manger. Our songs, our nativities, and our Christmas cards seem a little out of step with Matthew's account, perhaps a little emptier. In Matthew's account, we simply read, "After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea," and then this story of the Magi, the wise men, that only Matthew tells. Now, today is known as Epiphany. Epiphany is a moment of sudden or great revelation or realization that usually changes us in some way. For Christians, Epiphany is the day that we remember the manifestation or the appearance of Christ to all in the world, including the Gentiles, that's us, as represented by the Magi in the story. The Magi were from Persia or southern Arabia to the east of Jerusalem, and they can be translated as wise men or astrologers. They're the most exotic people in the story. They get the fancy costumes in the Christmas plays. No tea towels or stripy dressing gowns for these guys. They are foreigners. They're not Jews, but Gentiles, and we know this because they're searching for the King of the Jews. And they get camels. Not in Matthew's account, actually. Our own storytelling has added them, a bit like the donkey for Mary. But they are featured in Isaiah 60, which is like a companion reading to what we've heard today. There it says that herds of camels will cover your land. And the camels are also linked to gold and incense by, and all from Sheba will come bearing gold and incense and proclaiming the praise of the Lord. You know, we love this story of these exotic men and their camels, their following of a star, their search for someone great. We sing songs about them. They feature on Christmas cards. They weren't kings. And there's no mention of three of them. We don't know how many there were. There could be three or there could be 50. Although if there were 50, they might have had trouble fitting into the house. They didn't come on the night of his birth like the shepherds. They came some months later as they visited Jesus as a child in his house. They followed a star. It seems to be a miraculous phenomenon, as the star remains stationary while they're in Jerusalem and then leads them to Bethlehem and to the house of Jesus. Now, scholars have tried to explain this in various ways. It could have been a supernova. Or Jupiter and Saturn were in conjunction with each other three times in the year 7 BC. But whatever it is, we can imagine in a life without streetlights that the night sky is particularly impressive. We would notice the stars more, and we would notice changes more. And at the time, people believed that a remarkable event in the skies actually mirrored a remarkable event here on Earth. I wonder what we see as stars in our lives, pointers to God, pointers to the miraculous. A flower blossoms, a beautiful sunset, waves rolling in at the beach, or the Berlin Wall falling, apartheid is abolished, a child is born, a relationship is healed, restored, a life is transformed. A life is renewed. I wonder what we see as stars in our lives. Now, in this search for Jesus, the wise men drop in on Herod. This is Herod the Great, and he's particularly ruthless. He has murdered many potential rivals, including a wife, three sons, a mother-in-law, a brother-in-law, an uncle, and others, including, as we know later in the story, babies in Bethlehem. King Herod was disturbed. He reacts with fear and insecurity. And when he's troubled, all Jerusalem is troubled. Clearly, when Herod's not happy, nobody's happy. This is not happy Herod. He rules from fear and power, and yet he becomes almost a footnote. Whereas Jesus rules from love and weakness as a baby, as a child, provoking the worship of the world and establishing an eternal kingdom. Herod was a self-serving king, living life for himself, a star of his own show, expecting others to sacrifice their wealth and life for him, whereas Jesus is a self-sacrificing king. We know he lived for others, sacrificing his life so that others may live. This is good news. Still for us today. When the wise men ask Herod where the king of the Jews is to be born, Herod enlists the help of chief priests and teachers of the law. Now, the chief priests are likely to be Sadducees, who were in charge of worship in the temple in Jerusalem. And the teachers of the law were Jewish scholars of the day, professionally trained, especially in application of Old Testament law. As religious insiders, they had a Bible study to determine where the Messiah would be born. But it's the wise men that go to worship and bring gifts. The insiders are frightened. The outsiders search. When did you last search for something? Now, I'm not thinking of your name badge or your glasses or your car keys, but perhaps something valuable, something that adds value to your life and you really wanted to find it. Or have you tried to search for someone that has been a part of your life? You know, the wise men have travelled a long way in their search. They really want to find this child. And when they do find this child, they do two things. They worship him and they present three gifts: gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Now, myrrh was an anointing oil used for embalming. It's a pretty odd gift. Perhaps even offensive. It's a symbol of death. The frankincense was used in temple worship, so that's a symbol of the priestly role. Gold was the metal of kings, symbolizing kinship on earth. It was the most precious gift at the time. It was the number one emblem of wealth, and if you approached a king, you brought a gift of gold. I wonder what it meant to this poor couple, Mary and Joseph. Did this gold finance their trip to Egypt? Or what did they do with it? We don't know. But I wonder what the gift symbolized for us personally. I think of the myrrh as a symbol of Christ's death for me, for us. The frankincense is offering my life as a fragrant offering to God. And the gold, that's the right of Christ to rule in my life. Am I living my life for myself, or am I living my life where my first priority is Jesus? The wise men are outsiders who refuse to comply with the powers at the time. They defy the king's order. And by doing this, they help Mary, Joseph, and Jesus to flee as refugees. The wise men are more than a footnote. They're pretty remarkable. I didn't grow up in a family that went to church. And the churches that I've attended over the years haven't always been particularly liturgical or necessarily followed the church calendar. So I can't say that I've always known what Epiphany is or what the focus is that we celebrate at this time. But I've come to appreciate that Epiphany is the time to celebrate and recognize that our God manifests or appears on earth. God is revealed and God's purposes for the world are made known. The wise men only have something to seek because Jesus is born incarnate, God with flesh on. No doubt this changed their stories, and today Jesus continues to change our stories. Does your story need changing? Because Jesus changes our stories. Matthew seems to be saying to us that we should listen to the whole story, to think about what it means for Jesus to be the true King of the Jews and then to search for him, come to him, and by whatever route you can, worship him and bring the best gifts you can find. The wise men are searching for a newborn king. Their search symbolizes all of our searches for God. Their presence in the story proves God's grand plan for salvation is for all people, not just the Jews. And this is good news for all the people. This is good news for us. We're mindful and we remember that Herod's response is controlled by fear, like so much of our world then and now. And the response of the wise men to a living encounter with the one true God is to worship and to bring gifts. How seemingly normal is the work of God in this story? God's signs may no longer be in the form of a star to mark the birthplace of Jesus. But the Holy Spirit continues to reveal God's purposes in the world for those curious enough to investigate the everyday signs of God's presence here on this earth, in our lives, in our everyday. The Holy Spirit is that guiding star for us. We search out the King of the Jews. We search for Jesus in our lives, in our everyday world. And our searching leads us to Jesus so we can worship him and bring ourselves as a gift to him. What a finish with a poem by Howard Thurman. You might have seen it. It does the rounds of the on Facebook at New Year. When the song of the angels is stilled, when the star in the sky is gone, when the kings and the princes are home, when the shepherds are back with their flocks, the work of Christmas begins. To find the lost, to heal the broken, to feed the hungry, to release the prisoner, to rebuild the nations, to bring peace among people, to make music in the heart. As we begin this new year, be encouraged by the search for Jesus by the wise men, by the presence of the Holy Spirit as our guiding star. And by encountering this story over and over, we're invited to find today what the wise men found then. Consider, who is this child? Jesus, to you today in your everyday life. Where is God in your year, your story? How do you worship God? What gifts do you bring? And how does the work of Christmas begin in 2019? Let's pray together. Loving God, we give you thanks for this story. We give you thanks for the wise men who inspire us in our search for you, in our search for Jesus in our everyday lives. We thank you for the gifts that they brought and how they still mean something to us today. Lord Jesus, forgive us for those times when we don't search for you, when we don't follow you, when we don't allow you to rule in our lives, when we make it all about ourselves, or perhaps when we respond in fear like Herod did. Thank you that through Jesus' death on the cross, all these things, our sins, are forgiven. Lord Jesus, we search for you. We search for you in our everyday lives. Lead us, we pray. And Holy Spirit, you're like a bright star in our lives. Guide us that we may not lose the way of Jesus, so that the work of Christmas can continue, can begin in our lives, to find the lost, heal the broken, feed the hungry, release the prisoner, rebuild nations, bring peace among people, and make music in the heart. This we pray together in the name of Jesus. Amen.